Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Trade is not a four-letter word. How Six Everyday Products Make the Case for Trade is a popular economics and public policy book by Fred P. Hochberg, former chairman and president of the Export-Import Bank of the United States. Rather than presenting trade through equations, treaty language, or partisan debate, Hochberg explains it through familiar goods and services, the taco salad, the Honda Odyssey minivan, the banana, the iPhone, the college degree, and the HBO series Game of Thrones. The book belongs to the accessible nonfiction tradition of explaining complex economic systems through everyday objects. Its purpose is to show that trade is not an abstract force imposed from above, but a practical network of exchanges that shapes prices, jobs, innovation, consumer choice, education, entertainment, and diplomacy. Hochberg argues that public discussion often reduces trade to fear or blame, while the reality is more interconnected, reciprocal, and dependent on cooperation than common slogans suggest. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, everyday products is a practical map of global trade. Hochberg's central technique is to use ordinary products as entry points into the structure of international commerce. The taco salad, minivan, banana, iPhone, college degree, and Game of Thrones are not random examples. Together, they widen the meaning of trade beyond ships, factories, and tariffs. Food illustrates agricultural sourcing and migration of ingredients. A vehicle reveals cross-border manufacturing and parts networks. Eat some shuck, a banana demonstrates dependence on climate, geography, and logistics. A smartphone points to technology supply chains and intellectual property. A college degree shows that education can be an export when foreign students pay tuition and bring capital into the United States. A television series highlights services, licensing, and cultural exports. This structure makes the book distinctive because it begins with what readers already recognize and then reveals the hidden transactions behind it. The method also counters the idea that trade is separate from daily life. Hochberg makes the case that even products viewed as locally familiar or culturally American often depend on international inputs, foreign consumers, global financing, or cross-border rules. Secondly, supply chains show why national self-sufficiency is rarely simple. A major theme of the book is that modern goods are rarely made in one place from start to finish. Hochberg uses products such as the Honda Odyssey and the iPhone to show that production is distributed across countries according to skills, costs, resources, technology, and business relationships. This does not mean that national economies become irrelevant. It means that value is created through coordination among many locations. A car assembled in the United States may depend on foreign parts, foreign-owned investment, American workers, domestic suppliers, and overseas buyers. A smartphone may combine design, software, specialized components, assembly, branding, and retail networks located in different countries. The reasoning behind this argument is that trade should not be judged only by where final assembly occurs. The economic value of a product is spread across research, design, manufacturing, logistics, marketing, and after-sales services. By highlighting supply chains, Hochberg challenges simple buy domestic narratives that ignore how domestic jobs can depend on imported inputs. The book, therefore, reframes imports not only as competition, but also as ingredients that can support domestic production and consumer access. Thirdly, trade includes services, education, entertainment, and ideas. One of the book's important contributions is its expansion of trade beyond physical merchandise. Many public debates focus on manufactured goods because they are visible at ports, stores, and factory floors. Hochberg broadens the frame by treating the college degree and Game of Thrones as trade examples. Higher education becomes part of international exchange when students from abroad attend American universities, pay tuition, rent housing, purchase services, and often build long-term professional ties. Entertainment becomes trade when a television series is financed, produced, licensed, distributed, streamed, and consumed across borders. These examples matter because they show that the United States does not only import goods, it also exports knowledge, culture, brands, technology, and experiences. This shifts the reader's understanding of comparative advantage from a narrow focus on low-cost manufacturing to a broader view of institutional strength, creativity, and reputation. The inclusion of services also helps explain why trade statistics and political rhetoric can be misleading if they focus only on goods deficits. Hochberg's approach encourages readers to see trade as a multidimensional system in which value can be generated through intellectual property, education, media, tourism, finance, and professional expertise. Fourthly, consumer benefits and worker anxieties are treated as connected realities. Hochberg's book is a defense of trade, but its argument depends on making the benefits concrete rather than merely ideological. He emphasizes that trade gives consumers access to products that would be unavailable, seasonal, lower quality, or more expensive without global exchange. The banana is a clear example because most American consumers cannot obtain such a product domestically at scale without relying on tropical producers and logistics networks. The same principle applies to electronics, vehicles, food ingredients, and cultural goods. At the same time, the book is written in the context of public frustration over globalization, tariffs, and job losses. Its position is that blaming trade alone oversimplifies economic change. Automation, technology, consumer preferences, education levels, corporate decisions, and policy choices also shape labor outcomes. But that protectionist explanations often identify the wrong cause or offer remedies that create new costs for consumers and businesses. Hochberg's practical contribution is to separate legitimate concern for workers from the claim that closing markets is a simple solution. The book implicitly supports adjustment, education, and competitiveness rather than broad retreat from exchange. Lastly, trade literacy as a response to slogans, tariffs, and political confusion. The book is partly an argument about public understanding. Hochberg suggests that trade is often discussed in language that alienates ordinary citizens' deficits, sanctions, rules of origin, bilateral deals, dumping claims, and tariff schedules. When people encounter trade mainly through political conflict, they may see it as a contest with clear winners and losers rather than as a system of reciprocal dependence. By explaining trade through familiar objects, Hochberg gives readers a basic vocabulary for evaluating policy claims. Tariffs, for example, are not just punishments aimed at foreign producers. They can raise prices for domestic consumers and increase costs for firms that use imported inputs. Export success is not limited to selling manufactured goods abroad. It may include education, entertainment, services, technology, and financing. This literacy matters because trade policy affects daily prices, business strategy, international alliances, and the ability of countries to specialize. Hochberg's book does not function as a technical manual for trade law. Its value is civic and interpretive. It gives non-specialists a clearer way to test whether political claims about trade match the realities of how products, jobs, and markets actually operate. In conclusion, trade is not a four-letter word as best suited for general readers who want to understand trade without beginning with academic economics as well as students. Business professionals, journalists, and policymakers who need clearer public language for explaining globalization. Readers gain a practical framework for seeing how ordinary purchases connect to supply chains, foreign investment, agricultural geography, services exports, intellectual property, education, and entertainment. The book is especially useful for people who have heard trade discussed mainly through tariffs, factory closures, or trade deficits and want a broader view of how exchange works in daily life. Its intellectual benefit is not that it resolves every controversy over globalization, but that it makes the basic mechanisms visible enough for readers to evaluate claims more carefully. Compared with many books on trade, Hochberg's work stands out for its object-based structure and accessible tone. It does not rely on dense theory, historical chronology, or partisan argument as its main vehicle. Instead, it uses six recognizable products to show that trade is embedded in meals, cars, phones, campuses, and streaming entertainment. That approach makes the book a realistic bridge between expert trade policy and ordinary economic experience, while still preserving the complexity of global interdependence. If you would like to support Fred P. Hochberg, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.